1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4 to 7 is the text for our meditation. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 4 to 7. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Honor Christ in worship is the title of our message, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 4 to 7. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Praying and prophesying, preaching and teaching, expressed here in a public worship setting. William MacDonald observed insightfully when he said, "Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head," that is Christ. The head there refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is saying, in effect, that the man does not acknowledge Christ as his head. Thus, it is an act of gross disrespect. How did this come about? It can be observed that in Corinth is a melting pot of people: Greeks, Romans, Jews, and those of other nationalities. The covering of the man's head, called the capite veleto, was commonplace in a Roman religious cult. One explanation was that it helped to reduce the noise of the animals being sacrificed. The statue of Augustus, displayed at Corinth, showed the emperor with his head covered. Similar iconography is found in the frieze of the Ara Pacis, the altar of peace that he dedicated at Rome. The social elite took an active part in the religious cult of the city by serving as priest, and thus those who joined the church may have been introduced this Roman cultural norm into Christian worship. Thus, Christian worship was expressing not that all was one in Christ, but the social divisions of a secular society. Praying with a head covered drew attention to a man's place in Roman society, whereas in Christian worship, the focus should be on Christ. In other words, having his head covered with a veil or a turban, a cap, whatever else is worn on the head, to remove the head, the turban or the covering of the head, is a mark of respect for a superior when in his presence. And so here explains for us what Paul was speaking about concerning the covering of men who came into the church. Women in public worship, verse 5 and 6. But every man that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. we notice here how Paul clearly envisages that women should be involved in prayer and prophecy in the fellowship. The hairstyles of the women in the imperial family at Rome tended to set the trends for women in the rest of the empire. It's just like the fashion of Paris and Rome. Right? The type of perfume, the type of hairstyle, the type of dressing. Right? You have the summer the fashion shows. Well, it set a tone for the rest of the world. It's clear from portraits on coins and in sculpture that women's hair in the middle of the first century AD tend to be worn longer than under Augustus. Agrippina, the younger, the wife of the Emperor Claudius, and the mother of the future Emperor Nero, from a previous marriage, adopted a hairstyle where the hair is braided and gathered into a long loop. Two long strands of curled hair fall at either side of the neck. The covering of the head was an emblem found in sculptural representation in the late Republic and under Augustus, where Pala is pulled over the top of the head. This became an emblem for modesty and chastity. Presumably, women who felt able to uncover their heads were considered immodest, unchaste, and therefore, by definition, un-Roman. But you realize that our method of interpretation of the Bible, we follow a literal method of interpretation. And so we look at the text, we look at the context, and we also look at the cultural and the archaeological and even the background, right, of those times, why the writers spoke as they do and how it is related to the culture of those times. So there is here a relation to help us to draw the principle. That is why we are speaking today a lot about how women, men and women are dressed in Roman society and how this would affect the way in which they would present themselves in church and why they ought not to do what they were doing. Right? The men covering their head when they come to church. Well, Paul says it's a dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And so it is observed, well, in Paul's day, a woman should cover her head. If she failed to do this, she dishonored not only her own head, but also showed disrespect to her husband. She ought to have respected her husband by wearing a head covering in public. He notes that nature itself teaches that long hair is the glory of the woman. For a woman to have her head shaved was and still is a mark of disgrace and humiliation. You remember this was the instruction of the Lord. Right? If a woman is captured in war and that the man wanted to marry the woman has to be shorn for a month. And after that, she could marry whoever that was the man that took them captive. We must consider these words in the cultural context of the first century Corinth. How do we apply them? Paul does not intend to tell believers everywhere throughout the centuries to adopt the customs he wants the Corinthian Christians to follow. What does he stress in this segment is that in the marriage relationship, honors and respects her husband, and the husband loves the wife. This is what the Lord wants us to see and learn. The basic principle is maybe applied in diverse ways in the varying cultures throughout the world. The wife is to respect the husband. The husband is to honor the wife. This was a principle that remains the same, even though the application may vary according to context. Verse 7. For the man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of men. So, you know, in the church today, we have no mandate that woman would come to church having to wear a hat. If you don't wear a hat, you cannot come to church. No, we don't impose that rule because we understand it in the sense of the honor that the husband accords to the wife and the wife accords to the husband. Right? There is that kind of a mutual respect, and there is that peace that you can see in the husband and wife relationship when they are in church. That was the emphasis that the Lord has for us, so that there would be examples to the other families in the church. William MacDonald observed well. He says, from verses 7 to 10, Paul teaches the subordination of the woman to the man by going back to creation. This should forever lay to rest any idea that his teaching about the woman's covering was what was culturally suitable in his day, but not applicable to us today. The headship of man and the subjection of woman have been God's order from the very beginning. The man is to lead. To lead is to take care of the interests of the wife. To love the wife. That's to lead. To be a servant in the house. That's to lead. Well, we thank the Lord that He shows us, first of all, a man is the image and glory of God, whereas woman is the glory of men. This means that man was placed on earth as God's representative to exercise dominion over it. Man's uncovered head is a silent witness to this fact. Woman was never given this place of headship. Instead, she is the glory of men in the sense that she renders conspicuous the authority of men, as the commentator Vine expresses it. Man indeed ought not to cover his head in prayer. It would be tantamount to veiling the glory of God, and this would be an insult to the divine majesty, he wrote. May the Lord bless this order in his church. And verse 7, we continue to show the custom of covering the head. What does it mean? Well, it signifies one who is in subjection. This is contrary to what a man ought to be, as the commentator Matthew Poole puts it well. He says, to uphold power, the power, preeminence, and authority which God has vested in him. God made man to own the headship of his creation. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. And man cannot abdicate the role. He has to do his part to lead his family. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the creation, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So Poole observed well when he said, the woman was created for the honor of men and for his help and assistance, and originally made out of men. Right? Eve was made out of the rib of Adam. And so as men may glory Eve, this is now the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Genesis 2 verse 21 to 23. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord had God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. This was how close that relationship was between Adam and Eve, to describe the closeness of the marriage bond. Praise God for showing us his creative order. May the Lord bless it for the prospering of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people. Comfort thy people. Grant to us thy joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ as we look to thee. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.